as he taught great lessons to them. And then, in the Bible also, the Bible shows where Jesus met people one-on-one and talked with them and had discussions with them. In John chapter 3, you find Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse 1 through 21, you find Jesus talking with Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes out at night, and I tend to believe he probably came out at night so the rest of the Jewish leaders wouldn't see him. He came out, and he seemed to be somewhat concerned about salvation. He came out and talked with Jesus, and Jesus told him, unless you're born again, the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And if you turn to John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11, you find Jesus once more again talking with a woman who was caught in adultery. The Bible doesn't give her name. Those people took her and brought her before Jesus. Jesus said to the people, "You without sin cast the first stone," held his head down. When he held his head up, it was all gone. And he said to the woman, "Well, your accusers, go and sin no more." In John chapter 8, verse 12 through 59, you find Jesus once more again with the Jewish leaders. He's talking with them. He talked with them about sin. He's told them that you can't know the truth. And at the very end of the chapter, Jesus let them know that he's greater than Abraham, which they didn't take that too well. There was a young man that came to Jesus. Bible doesn't give his name. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. Also recorded in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. And once more again in Luke chapter 18, verse 18 through 23. This is where we start our discussion at. We will entitle this, "Jesus Talks to a Young Man." Jesus talks to a young man. In Mark chapter 10, starting at verse number 17. "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." You find Jesus there in the region of Judea. He had just finished teaching on divorce and marriage and remarriage. Then he's going out on the road, and this man comes before him, and he's hurrying to get to Jesus, and he kneels down and humbles himself to Jesus, and he asks Jesus about eternal life. There's a couple lessons we can gather from this. First of all, about this young man, that he wanted eternal life. Seemed to be that he wanted eternal life, because in verse number 17, he says, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He seemed to be concerned about spiritual things. He seemed to be concerned about eternal life. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Matthew records, it's the same thing. A young man, coming to Jesus, concerned about eternal life. Now, in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse number 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" All three verses of all three books shows that the young man was interested, he was concerned about eternal life. That he wanted eternal life. I've talked with, and you've seen many people that have came here, and we've had Bible studies with them that seem to be concerned about eternal life. You know, they want to know what we teach. They want to know this and that. Well, we have the offer. And then when all comes down to it, and you go and you sit and you talk with them, you realize it's not really eternal life they're looking for. It's something else. Maybe some religious philosophy they want, not eternal life. But here we find a young man that Jesus talked to, came to Jesus, and he seemed to be looking for eternal life. He wanted eternal life. As it seemed to be. Sometimes you wonder how many people attend worship really want eternal life. Or just passing through. Pacifying your conscience. This young man, he lived under the old law, and Jesus mentioned some things. Jesus asked him some things. Have you held on to these? Have you not murdered? Have you not committed adultery? A couple other things he asked him. Have you not bear false witness? And the young man says, "Yeah, I've kept all those things from when I was very young." So it seemed to be that he's concerned about spiritual things. One would say, you know, he wanted eternal life. You know, in Romans chapter 10, Paul speaks about the Jews, about Israel. He says, start verse number 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Paul had prayers and desires for Israel, that they would be saved. But it took more than that. It took some action on Israel's behalf. Goes on to say, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Yes, Israel, they probably, most likely, wanted salvation, but they wanted salvation on their own terms. Just as this world is filled with too many people who think the same way. They want eternal life. They want salvation. They want to go to heaven, but they want it on their own terms. We find here a young man. He comes running to Jesus. As though he wanted eternal life. He knew of the existence of Jesus. He knew of eternal life. He asked Jesus, you know, "Well, what must I do? What good thing must I do that I could have eternal life?" He wanted eternal life, but how bad did he really want it? We'll see as we're going down. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, as Peter began to preach, and you pick up there, at verse number 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They want to know, what shall we do? What can they do to be right with God? Peter gave them the answer. Peter went on to say, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They asked that great question, the same great question that this young man asked, pertaining to salvation, pertaining to eternal life. Here's a young man that Jesus talks to, a young man that seemed to be concerned about spiritual things. He asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I have eternal life? Each and every one of us needs to stop and think from time to time about eternal life. How to have it, how to maintain it, how to keep it. Sad to say, there's very few young people in this world today is concerned about that, because the philosophy of the world is, while you're young, live. Later on in life, when you get old, then you settle down and think about salvation. Jesus talks to a young man, and this young man, he wanted eternal life. Somewhere in his life, he wasn't happy. Maybe he wasn't content with the life he had. Something was lacking in his life. Let's continue to look at this. The young man that Jesus talked with, from looking at Mark chapter 10, I can clearly say that this young man, he had found the source of eternal life. He had been looking for eternal life. He asked Jesus about eternal life. He came to the right place, the right person. He found the source of eternal life. Look no further. You're there. There it is. What you gonna do about it? Isn't it amazing how you sit down and you talk with people, you show them the truth right in front of them, then they turn away from it. He wanted eternal life. Now we see he found the source of eternal life. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus had been preaching and teaching, and some of his disciples, those who heard his words, they came to the conclusion in their life that it's not for them, and they turned around and went back. Picking up at verse number 68, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a great statement that Peter makes. Peter says, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter realized that Jesus was the very source of eternal life. Here's a man who comes running to Jesus looking for eternal life. He finds the very source of eternal life right there in front of him. Jesus speaks of himself in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Start at verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus there teaches, revealed to us that God, being a loving God, a concerned God, sent his only Son to the world to die as a sacrifice for our sins. And man would have to believe upon that in order to have eternal life and not perish. But if he believed not, he would be condemned. For see, Jesus, there is source of eternal life. This young man went to Jesus. He had found it. He had found that which he was looking for. He had found the source of eternal life. Jesus says in Matthew, in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, if you're ashamed of me and my words, they have judgment, I too shall be ashamed of you. If one refuses the word of God, and ashamed of the word of God, shame of the words of Jesus, those very words will be that which will condemn you in the end. Because those words and following those words is where eternity is at. Following God's word. Jesus was the source of eternal life. He found it. He was there. All he had to do was listen to what Jesus said and do what Jesus told him to do. Isn't that what you and I, isn't that what we're doing? We teach people to follow Jesus Christ. We don't teach them to follow Muhammad and the Muslim religion because it's wrong and will lead to hell. We don't teach them to follow Catholicism, to serve and follow the Pope because it's wrong and will lead to hell. We don't teach them to follow man-made doctrine. We teach them to follow Jesus and his words. For see, Jesus and his words is the source of eternal life. This young man, he wanted eternal life. He found the source of eternal life. There it is, right there in front of him. Eternal life cannot be found in denominationalism. One would say, that's pretty harsh to say. Well, that's just the truth. Just the truth. Source of eternal life is Jesus and following his words. This man, he was fortunate. He was fortunate that he found that which he was looking for. He found Jesus. He found the very source of eternal life. Got one more step to go. He's not there yet. We know so far that he wanted eternal life. He's found the source of eternal life. One more step. Thirdly and last, going back to Mark chapter 10. Jesus tells this young man After you've had this discussion with him, he tells him, sell all you have, give to the poor, come follow me. What? Take all you have, you sell it, give to the poor, come follow me. Verse 22 of Mark chapter 10, it says, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Luke chapter 18. Verse 23, but when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He wanted salvation. He wanted eternal life. He was fortunate to find the very source of eternal life. But thirdly and last, what did he do? He refused eternal life. The Bible said he was sad. He was sorrowful. He went away sad. Did he go away sad because Jesus gave him the wrong information? Did he go away sad because he didn't understand what Jesus was teaching? The scriptures says that he went away sad because he had great possessions. He was wealthy. He was rich. Jesus knew and saw that in this man's life that he had put his wealth before God. Jesus knew that that would separate him from serving God. Jesus tells him, take everything you have, get rid of it, give it to the poor. Come follow me. He became very sad, very sorrowful. He walked away. He wanted eternal life. He found the very source of eternal life. You know what he did? He refused eternal life. That which he was searching for, he found it. But he couldn't separate himself from his wealth. Evidently, it became his God. So he refused eternal life. Well, you may say, well, I'm okay then because I'm not wealthy. I got it made. Well, you know what? There's other things in life that can become your God and separate you from serving God. Sometimes boyfriend, girlfriend can keep you from doing the thing you should be doing spiritually and serving God. I knew a man who would rather on a Sunday afternoon, who's a member of the church, who instead of coming out on Sunday afternoon worshiping God, he would rather on a Sunday afternoon watch NFL football. And NFL football had become his God. But what about all those good people who read the Bible and don't bother anyone, but on Sunday they prefer to go out on the lake in the boat and chill out? Maybe that become their God. Here's a man had an opportunity to follow Jesus, have eternal life. He let his riches, his love for his riches, stop him. Did you know when we die, we can't take anything with us to heaven? And also, on the other hand, when you die, you can't take anything with you to hell. Never thought about that, have you? All going to be left here for somebody else, most likely. In Acts chapter 24. We got a little time, but Acts chapter 24. In Acts chapter 24, you find Paul standing there preaching to Felix. And the answer that Felix gives to Paul is, now as he reasoned about righteousness, so at verse number 25, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Felix said, not right now, come back some other time. But there is no other recording in the Bible that Felix ever took the time to hear and obey the gospel. There's Felix having a chance to make the right decision to follow the word of God. Instead, he tells Paul, go away, come back at a more convenient time. Flip over to chapter 26. King Agrippa, the apostle Paul is standing before him. Sorry, verse number 27. Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. You almost had me. Almost made it. Doesn't count. Both of these incidents, they both refuse to obey the gospel. Refuse eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Today. Don't be like this young man. He was looking for eternal life. Oh, he found the very source of eternal life. But you know what? When he got it there and heard the thing that Jesus had to say, it wasn't for him. He rejected eternal life. What about you? If you're not a Christian, how many times are you going to come and sit and hear the word of God and reject it? For one day you may want to come. It might be too late then. There's a story that was told to me many years ago about a man who they tried teaching the gospel several times, and he really didn't want to hear it. Really didn't want to hear it. And he told the people, he said, I'm not coming down that place. I'm not coming to that place of worship. On the way you get me down there, you have to carry me in. And you know what? It happened. On a wet, rainy, cold day, they brought John came to worship. John surely came to worship, but he was carried by six people. Had his funeral that day in that building. For see, with John, it was too late. And you keep on putting it off and keep on putting it off. One day it could be too late for you. But see, we see the young man, he walked away. He refused eternal life. What about you? Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 tells us that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not that it's going to be a possibility, not that we might, but we must. It's an appointment we will not miss. You cannot call in on the day of judgment and say, I'm sick. Can't call in on the day of judgment and say, I'm running late. Can't call in on the day of judgment and say, I want to cancel the appointment. Because on the day of judgment, we all shall stand before Christ and be judged by his words. John 12, 48. Considering these things, what shall we do? Well, if you're here and you are a Christian, there is sin in your life, the right and proper thing to do would be to repent of it so you can have the right relationship with God. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you don't have to be like a young man and refuse eternal life again and again and again. What you can do, be obedient to the gospel by hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing, and being baptized, having your sins dealt with, having your sins washed away, being added to the Lord's church. starting that journey out, serving God. Be wise, be smart, be knowledgeable, make the right decision as we sing.